start?
5:45.
Oh, 5.
Oh, 5:45.
Okay, here's yours.
Okay. See, I knew we needed to be doing this a little bit ago.
2, 3.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
God, I thought Monday would never get here. This is Head On. I am Bob. Bob, I am. Awfully glad to have you on board this evening. Slogged our way through the weekend. Little happy news. It's for real. It's for definite. West Virginia University will get to go to Atlanta and play in the Sugar Bowl against the University of Georgia. And while some people are being pessimistic and asking questions like, will it be necessary to add a third digit to the scoreboard to keep up with Georgia's scoring, I'm not that way. I think we can go down there and acquit ourselves admirably. For I watched the Auburn-Georgia game, and I saw what Ken Irons, the Auburn running back, did to the Georgia defense. We have a running back that's better than Ken Irons. Yes, we do. We've got a couple of them. And a whale of a young quarterback. So that was nice. But anyway, that was the bright spot. That was the bright spot in the weekend. Apart from that, however, well, with that, look, let's jump on it tonight. No sense fooling around. Because, well, interestingly, it was breaking on CNN as I went on the air. Bill Schneider was talking about new CNN polling data. The Democrats, the progressives, the liberals, you know, the decent people, will be pleased to know that at this point in time, according to this polling data, whoever runs against Tom DeLay in his district in Texas is 49 points ahead, or is 13 points ahead of Tom DeLay. 49 to 36. There. God. Yes, dear.
Are we confused tonight?
No, we're just non-mathematical every night. But yeah, 49 to 36%, 13, by a margin of 13%, for God's sakes, Texans in Tom DeLay's district said they don't care who the Democrat is. They'll vote for him before they'll vote for that filthy, corrupt, sleazy, poisonous, poisoned, bug spray huffing little racketeer Tom DeLay. So that's great news. Meanwhile, though, the reason the whole story got started is, well, you'll remember if you're a devotee of this program and choose to share your time with me as I share it with you, and we are one together in Cuckoo Ca-Choo, you will recall that we talked a week or so ago about the fact that big-time Dick Cheney was going down for one of those rubber chicken dinners. How much was it a plate? $2,700 a plate? $2,700 a plate for a political fundraiser for Tom DeLay, because he just doesn't have enough money yet. Oh God.
It was either 25 or 27.
Seems like, well, 1700, 2700, something like that. The
it was
seven.
Ungodly.
Yeah, it was obscene. And, you know, further proof of the abject moral bankruptcy and ethical dead-from-the-neck-upness of the Republican Party.
But, see, Halliburton provided it, so they had to pay him something.
No, Halliburton didn't provide it.
Sarcasm, dear.
Oh, sorry. Didn't have the light on. But, and it, so that's why the Tom DeLay story rose up. But, oh, wasn't it beautiful? Isn't that just gorgeous? Can you imagine any Democrat, you know, ABT is in a 13 percentage point lead over Tom DeLay, ABT being anybody but Tom. So, you know, there's hope even for Texans. I was impressed by that. And, yes.
Jim just let us know it was 4,200.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. It just gets more obscene by the moment, doesn't it? $4,200 for a plate of rubber chicken to support a little grafted up, greeted up, filthed up warmonger. Not to mention hypocritical, fake Christian like Tom DeLay. A guy who gladly, you know, when you're willing, in the first part of the 21st century, when you're willing to go out and rip off Indians, knowing everything we know about all the rotten things that were done to the Native American peoples in this country, when in the 21st century you're still willing to go out and rip off the natives, you don't have any claim on the goodwill or the good opinion of the American people. Remember, Tom DeLay is the Sneechmeister. He's the one who is taking money from one Indian tribe, him and his pal Jack Abramoff. How in the world you can get away with doing that to Abram, I'll never know. Him and his pal Jack Abramoff and Michael Scanlon and, what's his name, Reed. Not Rex Reed, no, that's that. The scumbag from the Christian Coalition. All engaged in a conspiracy to rip off Indian tribes. On the one hand, well, you know, it's going to cost you $100 million if we're going to keep that other tribe from getting that casino that's going to compete with your casino. So they get the $100 million. And then they go to the other tribe, the Tiguan, and they say, well, you know, it's going to cost you $80 million if we're going to get you that casino because, you know, the other tribe's working hard to keep you from... Yeah, that way. And speaking of Tom DeLay and filthy money... Shirley Moran Capito, I'm sorry, it just, gave back some of her filthy money, this past week. Not all of it, and I don't think it was the DeLay money right off the top of my head, but she did give back some of the political sleaze that she has, $6,000. She's gotten beaucoup more than that from Tom DeLay just in one knee pad session. So there's all of that. And, where's the time go? It's already time for the first break, so let's do that. This is Head On. You know me. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head On with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no Oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head On. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click On Air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head On.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Welcome back. Well, coming up on 20 minutes after the hour, this is Head On for a Monday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder of the phone numbers, of course. Toll free, 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366. And, of course, the other number, 304-658-3333. All terribly easy. And email to bob@headonradio.com or my lovely wife, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S. At headonradio.com. So, yeah, it can't get any more simple than that. And a special shout out, howdy, welcome, whatever, to our pals in the Tom Hartman chat room, as well as our friends at Democratic Underground. Always good to have you guys on board. Now, the news story today had to do with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld's little trip over to Johns Hopkins University's School of Advanced International Studies. Okay? And he gave a little speech there. And such a speech he gave. We should probably... Now, remember, this is good old Rummy. This is Rummy, who... This is the guy who gave us known gnomes and unknown gnomes and garden gnomes and front yard gnomes. This is the crazy dude. And he was no crazier today at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies. He's got a... He's got a new complaint. Well, it's a new old complaint. You know how it is with a Republican. They have no new ideas. But stand by. All right, so we're having technical troubles looking for the sound bites. Well, you know, you're going to have that sometime. You should see the desktop of the computer here. It's absolutely full. But Rummy had a new metaphor today. The problem with Iraq, get this, and for those of you who are so inclined, you're really going to want a shot of something. The problem with Iraq is that we're all looking at Iraq... Wait for it. Here it comes. We're all looking for Iraq through a soda straw. That's right. We're looking through a soda straw at Iraq, and we're not getting all the other perspectives that we ought to have. And one of those perspectives is that Iraq is going, if we don't win the war on terror, Iraq is going to attack the United States.
First, emboldened by a victory, will bring to our shores... Let there be no doubt.
Okay, let's try that again since we missed the front end.
This is the kind of mayhem that these terrorists, emboldened by a victory, will bring to our shores. Let there be no doubt.
Okay, you got that? George started the war, mind you, over... weapons of mass destruction. George started the war over weapons that, you know, Saddam didn't have. We're okay with that now. And then, he was a brutal dictator. He gassed his own people. We're going to bring democracy to Iraq. Flypaper theory. Who knows what the reason is now. But Rummy is telling us that the same people who are making life miserable in Iraq would come to America. Now, he didn't exactly lay out how they would get here. You know, little rubber ducky raft and a paddle. I mean, the last scene out of the movie version of Catch-22 where Yossarian goes paddling off to Sweden from the Mediterranean. It wasn't, but yeah, if we don't continue the bloodshed and the slaughter and the killing in Iraq, the Iraqis are so mad they're going to bring the war to us. There may be an element of truth in that. Who can say? The Iraqi, you know, if I was an Iraqi, you know, think about it. You're, what, 17 years old? Your mother's been killed. Your father's been killed. Your brother's been killed. Your sister's been killed. By the Americans, mind you. Aunts, uncles, cousins, beasts of the field. You might very well want to attack America. Going to be hard-pressed to do it if we're not there, but there's some arguable truth in it. Rummy continued on with his blather. This deserves no setup. Just dig this.
Imagine the world our children would face if we allowed Zawahiri and Zarqawi and Bin Laden and others of their ilk to seize power and operate with impunity out of Iraq. They would turn Iraq into what Afghanistan was before September 11th.
You get that? Rummy, buddy, I hate to bug you, but Zawahiri and Bin Laden were in Afghanistan, pal. they weren't in Iraq. And while we're at it, if they should suddenly get the urge to run a country and decided to do so after we left, wouldn't it be just a hell of a lot easier to pick them off then? When they, you know, because remember, we're setting up a democracy. They're going to have to be elected. Osama's going to have to stand up and say, "Vote for me!" You know, Uncle Osama wants you. But in Rumsfeld's world, and I confess I can't fully get into the mindset, in Rumsfeld's world, somehow or another, I guess, look, he's Secretary of Defense, he may have information we haven't had, and he's been sitting on it all along. Apparently, bin Laden's been in Iraq ever since September 11th. I mean, you heard the sound, but God only knows. And look, that's just the beginning. We haven't even gotten into the really, really insane stuff yet. So, by all means, stick around. We got to take a little break. When we come back, yeah, more crazy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I must be high.
It really would be a crying shame, said Bob Kincaid of Head On. That being me, that being this being it. To just stop with Rummy's little speech where we knocked off before the break. So, for heaven's sakes, let's keep going. Rummy's a member of the Bush administration. And unlike Harry Truman, who once said the buck stops here, he had that little sign on his desk. You know, with the Bush administration, the buck stops anywhere they can, as far away as they can keep it from themselves. So, in his little speech today to the School of Advanced International Studies of Johns Hopkins University there in Baltimore, or Baltimore, as my friends there on the, in Baltimore say it, Baltimore, Rummy, well, hey, look, we're not going to play the blame game, but the blame game is what they play better than any other game. So, naturally, it only stands to reason that when he makes his little speech there at Johns Hopkins, Rummy has somebody to blame for all the screw-ups in Iraq.
We've arrived at a strange time in this country where the worst about America and our military seems to so quickly be taken as truth by the press and reported and spread around the world, often with little context and little scrutiny, let alone correction or accountability after the fact.
Ah, okay. It's the media's fault. They're not telling the happy news out of Iraq. Well, let's see. I've got some happy Iraq news right here. This comes from our pal Victor. While the United States spends billions on troop support in Iraq, the people serving the meals, scooping the ice cream, and washing the dishes make as little as, you fans of organized labor, sit down. 50 cents an hour. The U.S. military has paid Halliburton subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root about $12 billion so far for so-called logistics support to U.S. military personnel in Iraq. Remember, we're paying $29 a day to feed our soldiers. I've got no problem with that. But Pentagon audit after Pentagon audit after Pentagon audit has shown that Kellogg Brown and Root, I'm sorry, the fine folks who brought you, let's just make it short, the fine folks who brought you the tiger cages in Vietnam in which we held human beings and poked them with sticks and things, built fires under them, you know, those tiger cages. KBR gets $29 a day from you and me for every soldier over there. And, like I said, through Pentagon audit after Pentagon audit, has been proven to be offering up things like rotten meat and vegetables to our soldiers. And as someone who supports the troops, I take umbrage at that.
Even Rachel Ray gets $40 a day.
True enough. And at the same time, remember that we give $29 a day for each and every soldier in Iraq to eat. $29 per day, per diem, Latin. We still can't quite muster up $5 a day for a child whose family lives on food stamps. Yeah. Or that woman of the White House's own choosing, the White House's own statistic from a year or so ago, when they were talking about the Medicare prescription drug plan kicking in, and they said a woman who lives on a fixed income of $700 and some odd a month just casually announced as part of the statistical process, that woman gets $27, not 29, $27 per month upon which to eat. $700 and some odd a month, Social Security fixed income. She paid, and in their statistical model, she was paying out $500 and some odd for rent and utilities. And under the Medicare prescription drug program, she gets her food stamps cut from $27 per month. This is out of the Bush administration. This isn't some, you know, wacko liberal website. This is the Bush administration's own numbers. She gets her food stamps cut. Because she signs up for the Medicare prescription drug plan, she gets her food stamps cut from $27 to $10. Meanwhile, we're paying $29 for Kellogg Brown and Root. to feed rotten meat and rotten vegetables to our troops, and pay the people who are actually serving up the rotten meat and the rotten vegetables to the troops 50 cents an hour. Does this work for you? Around 80,000 troops are served meals at dining facilities every day under the contract. The other 60,000 or so fend for themselves in field kitchens or by eating military-issue MREs, meals ready to eat. And by eat, we use the term loosely. Then KBR, and this is just a genius business model, KBR farms out their work entirely to subcontractors whose job it is to recruit, transport, house, feed, and pay third country nationals. That would be your Pakistanis, your Indians, your Filipinos, your Malaysians, your Indonesians, who they sucker into coming over there. They pay them to stock, prepare, serve, and clean up at the dining facilities at 43 bases. That's 43 bases. Did you know there were 43 bases across Iraq? And they get as little as 50 cents an hour to do it. Those poor people would be better off sewing sweaters in a sweatshop factory for Walmart, for God's sakes. It's not one of those moments that makes me really want to stand up and sing some patriotic anthem. What happened to the America that I was promised? What happened to the America that I was told about in the classrooms as a kid growing up? Land of the free, home of the brave. What were the... Under the Bush administration, were the home of the cheap. 50 cents an hour? In Iraq? Where you could be blown up at the next minute? 50 cents an hour? But you got to remember, it's the media's fault, according to Rummy. Because we're just not telling all the happy news. All the happy news that's coming out of Iraq. And, well, this one sets itself up. This is too good.
Recently, there were claims by two Iraqis on a speaking tour that U.S. soldiers attacked them with lions. It was widely reported around the United States. It is still without substantiation. And yet, that story was spread across the globe. Not too long ago, there was a false and terribly damaging story about a Koran that was supposedly flushed down a toilet in Guantanamo. And in the riots that followed, in several countries, some people were killed.
Okay, this one's a two-parter. First of all, the lion story. Did you notice in all of that, and it still hasn't been substantiated, did you notice in there, in that whole blather about the lions, what was the one thing that was missing? Now again, I'm dealing with Democrats, liberals, progressives, decent people. You know what was missing. Where in there, anywhere? Well, it hasn't been substantiated. There's a big, big difference between substantiation and denial. At what point did Rummy, in that statement, deny that the story about the lions was true? He didn't. He didn't. You know he didn't. I know he didn't. He didn't deny the story about abusing detainees with lions. Because he couldn't. And then it's the old Quran story. The old Quran dodge. Now, he said that was false. And the way he described it, it was false. It was false as he described it. There was no allegation that a whole Quran was flushed down a toilet. Now, I got a copy of the Quran. If I got the plunger out, I couldn't get that thing down a standard American flush toilet. It couldn't happen. However, he's referring to the Michael Isikoff story in Newsweek, which Newsweek retracted after massive threats went out from the White House. What he didn't tell them, however, was the fact that it was also documented by the Red Cross and by a couple of other aid organizations. and it has, and that has never, ever, ever been retracted. No, of course not. And then, well, you know, after it was reported, several people died. Well, yes, that's true. After it was reported, several people did die in rioting. But if you bother learning any of the facts and you don't listen to insane old war criminals like Donald Rumsfeld, you know the facts. And the facts are that the rioting was taking place before that Newsweek story or any other story about desecration of the Quran ever hit the wires. The rioting was something entirely different. Had to do with a little political uprising in Afghanistan. But Rummy can't be bothered to tell you that now, can he? Because if Rumsfeld, well, it doesn't fit the thesis that everything is the media's fault. He is a sick old monster, Rummy is. And, you know, as with so many Republicans, the truth is simply not in him. And now let's go ahead and take our break. God knows this just goes on and on and on, because when Rummy gets going, he's mighty hard to stop. So this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number's 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. And Bob at headonradio.com. That's how you get through one way or the other. Now, the overall theme from Rummy today at Johns Hopkins, it's the media's fault. The news organizations aren't telling the happy news. And those lion stories are unsubstantiated. Let's back up a little bit to those workers some of that happy news. I don't know. Would you put it past, since Friday we had Dear Leader in the Rose Garden talking about what a fabulous success the economy is now, would you put it past the Bush administration to count the people working for 50 cents an hour in Iraq as part of the employment numbers in this country? Would you? Now, I'm not Rush. I won't just boldly assert something that I don't know to be true. But, you know, there are people out there who fool around, do research and things like that. Would you put it past the Bush administration to count the foreigners we employ at our bases in Iraq within the American unemployment numbers? I wouldn't count that out for a minute. So, yeah, more happy news from Iraq. These people who work for Kellogg, Brown, and Root, serving the rotten meat and the rotten vegetables to our troops at $29 a day, making 45, 50 cents an hour. Let's go through one of their work days real quick. They're deemed as unskilled laborers, even though they're cooking, cleaning up, doing, you know, kitchen work. They work 7 days a week for 12 hours a day. And there's no provision for sick leave. If you get sick, you're just stuck in Iraq. Congratulations, you're an Iraqi now. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out, buddy. And they get $150 a month, 45 to 50 cents an hour. Doesn't that just make you feel good about... Doesn't that just make you feel good about things? Doesn't it make you feel proud for what we're doing in Iraq? Not me. Now, the salaries are deposited in bank accounts in Africa, so the money's available to the workers' families, and the workers get an additional $40. Don't spend it all in one place there, pal. They get an extra $40 a month in cash allowance. Now, where they spend it or how, I don't... Well, they probably have to pay for the food they eat now, don't they? Ah, capitalism. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let's go to the phones. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, you're head on.
Bob.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Romney's kind of a unknown himself there, isn't he?
Well, I was thinking he's more of a garden gnome. You know, the little dude on the travel commercials. You know, he's kind of like that.
I think we had another unknown gnome there on Meet the Press yesterday morning.
Oh, really?
John McCain.
Yes. What were you thinking?
Oh, he's supporting, you know, Bush is doing a good job. Bush even asked him, you know, don't you think Bush is responsible for some of this? He deflected the question and stay the course. He was praising Lieberman.
Oh yeah, that's the new thing. Rummy did that today too, Jethro. Quote Lieberman now. Lieberman is now the defense expert.
Yeah, for Israel.
Yeah, well, among other things, Lieberman doesn't have any problem bumping off a few Arabs here and there. It's no big deal.
No problem. Yeah, I think they're trying to look for a candidate to go against him and. 2006.
Well, I've seen some mention that Move On might be trying to find someone who would be willing to run against him, and God, I hope they find one.
Right, that's what I noticed. I think that was the same article I read. But and McCain was also defending this the military paying the Iraqi newspapers to get their stories printed, and it was like, hey, if that's the way the system works over there, that's what we have to do.
Who said that was how... I love the assumptions they make. Who said that was how the system works over there?
Yeah, McCain. In fact, you know, if that's how the system works, that's what we got to do to, I guess, the system of bribes or whatever.
Exactly. And you know, it's worth remembering, this is the same... Rummy was talking about it today. Oh, there's this many newspapers, there's that many radio stations and television, and oh, and look at all the cell phones they've got. But the fact of the matter is, most of the problems we have really got started, if you think about the insurgency. Abu Ghraib was part and parcel of it, and so was our crackdown on dissident publishing. what was his name, Sodder, ran that little low-rent newspaper, and they came, the U.S. Provisional Authority came and boarded it up, and there was a full bore, all-out hissy thrown over that, and hundreds of thousands of armed Iraqis in the streets.
Right. So, but I, what, you know, what they're doing is advocating more of the same thing that went on under Hussein, and you know, this democracy thing, that is just a ploy. They don't want democracy in the press, obviously.
No, they don't. Well, they don't want freedom of the press. Look what they've, the Coalition Provisional Authority, Jethro, did everything it possibly could to crack down on the labor movement over there. You know, there were trade unions.
Yes.
That were forming up in the absence of Saddam. They thought they were actually going to have freedom. We fooled them.
Yeah, to me, the democracy thing is a talking point only. They really have no intention to establish that or even try to. So I'm not sure what's up.
Well, it's all a setup. This is purely and simply, Jethro, a setup I think, you know, the more that we can declare that freedom is on the march there, then the sooner we can declare victory and get out.
Well, another talking point that you mentioned, that Rami said there, that McCain repeated yesterday, was if we don't get them over there, they're going to come over here and get us.
Oh, I'm so sick of that because, you know, didn't we have that a few days before the election from big-time Dick Cheney? Well, if you don't elect us, there'll be Iraqis running through the streets.
Yeah, the fear factor. So they're going to, you know, that's got Rose fingerprints all over it, seemingly. But are they going to use that, in the 2006 election, you know, if we pull out and you let those Democrats in, then they're going to attack.
Well, Jethro, the one thing is there's a very real threat that if the Democrats don't get their act together and demand new thinking on Iraq, then the Republicans will begin to initiate a pullout in advance of the 2006 elections, and once again, we're going to find ourselves standing there looking like fools.
Well, I'm not really sure what's going to happen. I would like to see a pullout, though, but, you know, a major pullout, not half of them and leave the rest of them hanging, which I'm afraid is going to happen.
Well, you know, what I could see happening, Jethro, is pull out the 80,000 members of the Garden Reserve in advance of the 2006 elections. The Republicans say, see, we told you we wouldn't stay any longer than we have to. And then after the 2006 elections are over, you know, sucker.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't like to see a repeat of, the end of the Vietnam War with the helicopters flying out and the masses breaking down the gates, trying to get on that last helicopter out, just chaos.
Well, it was, and I mean, there's chaos already. Is it realistic to think that we're going to handle this any differently? Everything else has been according to the Vietnam script.
Well, I think since early last year, or maybe even before that, the generals came out and said there's not going to be a military solution here. And it's like, hello, what happened to that? Here we are almost 1 year later, and they're still talking about how we're going to get a military victory against us.
Well, yeah, this idea of victory is just this. The idea of victory in Iraq, Jethro, you know this. It comes from the same dead from the neck up types who think this is some sort of a football game that, you know, the clock winds down to zero. We've got more than they've got, and we win.
And they're expecting our troops to be magical, like some kind of a Harry Potter or something. They can't do magic.
No.
And these guys, they don't want to call them insurgents, but these guys, they're fighting for their homeland.
Yeah, they don't want to call them insurgents, but they really don't want to call them what they actually are, and that's resistance fighters.
Right. And also another talking point, this business that Zarqawi and Osama are going to come in and take over Iraq, you know, the Kurds, Sunnis, and Shiites do not like those guys.
No, they won't stand for it for a minute. Everybody, these people like Rummy, Jethro, trade in part and parcel on the American people's absolute ignorance of what's going on in that part of the world.
All right. Well, after they run us out, the very next thing that they would do would be to run out, you know, Zarqawi and all that bunch, all the terrorists and stuff, they're going to get rid of those guys. They're getting them out of there.
I mean, they do want... there's one thing I don't differ with the Bush administration on. Those people want freedom. But the freedom they want is primarily, because we're the ones who are most in the majority over there, the freedom they want is primarily from us. They want to sort their own problems out themselves.
And it's been, you know, 13 since 92, we've had the sanctions on them. They're probably tired of getting beaten down.
Well, they'd like to have a chance to see if they can succeed. Jethro, it's always good to hear from you.
Okay, Bob.
Take care.
Madness, buddy.
It's madness. Take care.
Bye, Rob.
All right. Break time.
Chewing on my raisinets, thinking about what I want next. Thinking maybe I'm addicted. Checking out my pay-per-view, and all I do is think of you. What's wrong, baby? With this picture.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
It makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Your valleys and your fields.
through these fields of destruction. Baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged high. And though it had been so bad, in the fear and the alarm, you did not desert me, my brother.
Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes before the after the hour. I'm so excited it's Monday, I can barely tell time. Let's run straight back to the phones. Jim's been waiting. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Okay. I'm just trying to find my continuing transfunctioner.
Have any luck?
I don't know. Do you know what that is?
I recognize that, and I don't know. You've caught a continuum trans
functioner.
Yes.
Yeah, you saw that movie, Hey Dude, Who Stole My Car?
Yeah. Okay, there it is.
And remember those seven hot babes that were going around looking for it, promising different pleasures?
Yes, indeed.
I think that's what's happened to some of those people in Washington. They've lost their continuum trans functioner.
Well, it makes as much sense as anything else does, Jim.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, let's go from the ridiculous to the sublime.
Well, see, you mentioned that, and the first thing I flashed on was either Kurt Vonnegut or Earth Girls Are Easy.
No. I mean, you would have to go through the Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy before you got Earth Girls Are Easy. I mean, as far as real bad movies are concerned. But, you know, in the words of my friend John Waters, the whole thing is just a dirty shame.
It is. It's all a dirty shame.
It's all a dirty shame. Biden was on Imus this morning.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And he was just pointing out real simply and very, very succinctly that, you know, when this thing collapses, and Iraq is going to collapse, and it's just going to be the creation of us trading a dictator for a power vacuum into which Iran will be drawn, probably. And, you know.
Or they may choose their own new brutal dictator. Or a brutal dictator may insert himself into that power vacuum. That's, I mean, if what's passed as prologue is any indication, that's what's going to happen.
I don't know about that. I think they probably had enough of Saddam. And I think that basically it will split. You know, it's going to go the course of the old Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Or Balkanize, if you want to use another metaphor.
And, you know, basically in that empire, you had Magyars, you had, let's see, Slavs, and then you had the Germans, and it was the rape. And Iraq is polyglot, just like that.
Right, Kurds, Shia, Sunni.
Right, and it's going to split broadly into those three. And, you know, and as far as Saddam's trial is concerned, that's just, that whole thing is a laughing stock.
Well, it seems a little bit silly to be carrying out the trial right now. I'm not saying it's silly maybe to, I think the guy should be tried in the world court.
Well, I do too, but I mean, I'm surprised they don't have heaps of camel dung with each person so they can start throwing at each other across that thing. Because it's like the whole thing, I mean, they had to practically empty that courtroom today like a Chinese fire drill, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And Saddam was standing up saying, when the heroic Iraq revolution takes place, you're going to have stuff to answer for. You know, it was straight, you know how fond I am of Dr. Strangelove. It was Colonel Bat Guano admonishing Group Captain Mandrake that he was going to have to answer to the Coca-Cola company.
Well, whatever. That's exactly what's going on over there. And, you know, and they can't get people to, Ramsey Clark even admitted that they couldn't get a defense team to stay assembled. Because every time they do, somebody either gets rubbed out, or they have to flee the country. I mean, there's no way that he's going to get any kind of trial. That whole thing is just a mockery. And I think probably what the insurgency would like to see, or the, if you want to call them the resistance fighters, is to see that trial drawn out. And the longer it's drawn out, the greater chance Saddam has of, basically walking away.
Yeah.
And as long as that trial is held in Baghdad, it will not. There will be no fair trial.
Well, while we're sitting here, Jim, contemplating the power vacuum that's going to take place there, I'm reminded of something I read earlier today. Mohammed al-Baradei, who did not mince any words in saying, look, Iraq has no nuclear program. You know, their nuclear programs are sort of, you know, his thing.
Now, you know what Cheney said?
No.
Well, he said that they were realigning, or he used some type of strange verb, reconstituting.
Yes, reconstituting.
Uh-huh. And, you know, basically it was a real big play on semantics.
Well, the trick, though, is al-Baradei knows from emerging nuclear programs. And what he said today, or the report that came out today, just was rather terrifying, because he said, you know, this is a guy, like I said, who said, you know, Iraq ain't got it, ain't gonna have it. On the other hand, he said Iran is 60 days away from a nuclear device.
They are. Now, Iran definitely, and Biden said this morning on Don Imus, he said, they are. And the Bush administration will get their wish on this one, because they truly are capable of manufacturing a nuclear weapon.
Now, if something happens and we need to do something about Iran, not that I'm advocating that we do it, but if something happens and we need to do something about Iran, Jim, you know, we can't just wheel flank right.
No,
in Iraq and leave those people who hate our freaking guts in our rear.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. We have the ingredients of what I consider to be some form of Armageddon over there, if we don't watch out. Because you've got the Russians on the border of Iran, and they're not going to tolerate any kind of mess like that on their border. You know that.
Sure.
I mean, look what they did with Chechnya.
Well, it's the great game writ large.
It's what?
The great game.
Right.
The battle over who would have control of the countries that had that bordered on Mother Russia.
Well, and, you know, the Russians are not going to tolerate any kind of foolishness like that from us or anybody else. And, you know, they're going to be drawn into this equation. And, you know, when we went in there and we destabilized that dictator, as bad as he was, we really threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, yeah, and
we got ourselves involved in this war, which I consider to be unwinnable. I mean, we have a few enclaves over there, which are supposedly safe, which aren't safe, like Fallujah was last week. That was supposedly one of the enclaves over which we had control. And when we withdraw troops and stuff like that, and, you know, and bring down the strength of the men who are there, and you know those insurgents are going to take advantage of that, and they're going to clean house.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of simple mathematics. Nature doesn't pour a vacuum, and whatever vacuum we leave, when we leave, they're going to be willing to fill up, and it's just going to be a real mess. And then Iran's going to get into this equation, I'll guarantee you, because they haven't forgotten that war of the 1980s.
No.
And they're going to want to get in there because, you know, the reason Iraq was constructed, as I said earlier, a couple of weeks ago, it was a creation of a British cartographer or map maker.
That's exactly what it was.
And the British drew it so that they would get a majority of the oil.
Exactly.
That's exactly why. And, you know, it's just an artificial state, just an amalgam of people who really don't like each other. And, you know, what we have is a recipe for disaster. Already. And then, of course, Bush has to stick his big nose in their business. And when he did, we've been over there like a man walking around in a room filled with gunpowder with a lit cigarette.
Yeah. And striking matches as we go.
Well, just like what they said about the Kaiser before World War One. He was called by Sir Edward Grey, the British Prime Minister, like a man walking around in a room full of gunpowder with a lit cigarette, and that's exactly what we're doing here. This thing is going to be much bigger than battles around Baghdad and battles in Fallujah, or it's going to be much. This thing is going to spread like wildfire.
Well, native resistance fighters are always, from a military tactical standpoint, Jim, and you know this better than I, native resistance fighters are always the most opportunistic of fighters. So if we are distracted, if one area flares up, we're done.
Well, you know, we should put that down, but as soon as it does, another will flare up right behind us.
But what scares... It's
like trying to put phosphorus out, you know?
What scares the life out of me, Jim, is that there are potentials in here, and you know, the Democrats and liberals and progressives will understand the reference. I don't know if the conservatives will. But there's potential here, especially with Iran in the mix, for us to have our very own little Dien Bien Phu.
Well, it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, well, yeah, again, writ large.
Much more than Dien Bien Phu. I mean, you know, at least there was a Paris left after Dien Bien Phu. But like I say, I really believe that once that thing gets started over there and Iran goes ballistic with their nuclear program, then you're going to have the former Soviet Union or the Russian Federal or the RSSSR or whatever they call themselves today. I don't know what they call themselves. The Russian Republic's going to be drawn into it, and then that's going to tip the nuclear equation. And we really, in our opinion, and I'm not trying to sound like Jeremiah here, but I'm just being perfectly frank is the way I see it. We have the potential for a disaster of the first magnitude, which would create a nuclear holocaust.
And the scary part of it is the religion industry, Jim, those people who claim that they're moral voters, the values voters, they pray for it. They go to
probably
sleep
would.
On their knees praying thinking, for that.
Thinking they're going to be caught up in the air or something, but I hate to tell them.
Oh, they'll be caught up in the air. It's called an air burst for a reason.
Well, I mean, they'll be vaporized in the upper atmosphere is where they'll be,
yeah.
In my opinion. And you've got India and Pakistan. And you see, you know, these things spread. And, you know, it's just a contagion. I mean, if you read the causes of the First World War, for example, and then you see how one isolated incident was its domino effect, and the system of alliances that existed before that happened, before June 28, 1914. You've got the Archduke being shot in Sarajevo. And then you've got Austria handing its ultimatum to Serbia. And then you've got the Russians coming into it to defend the Serbs. And then you've got the pre-existing conditions of alliances.
Yeah.
That already existed, the Entente Cordiale versus the Central Powers.
Well, and this...
By August, from June 28th, and then by August 4th, guess what? We had a world war.
Sure. And it's not that hard to imagine something similar. We turn our backs for a minute. The Kurds decide to get a little bit uppity. And when they do that and try to establish absolute hegemony over their portion of the world, their neighbors in Turkey to the west are going to get really nervous.
Well, Turkey's always looked upon that with a very hungry eye, the Kurdish territory.
Well, and they've looked at the Kurds with a very frightened eye.
Yeah, they have.
That's why whether it be the Kurds or the Armenians, you know, the Turks were willing to slaughter Armenians by the million in that same time period that you were just referencing.
Right. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be polyglot or to have a group of different types of people, but these people have such underlying differences and, you know, hatred and, you know, well, they're just looking for an excuse to literally cut each other's throats.
Well, it's an entire area of the world in which every single individual ethnic entity or religious entity feels that they're backed into a corner. And that's not a good place to have anybody.
No. You don't do that to somebody, because when you do, he's either going to kill you or you're going to have to kill him.
Right. Or you'll both die in the attempt.
Exactly.
Well, Jim, we got to hit the break.
All right.
Always good talking to you.
You too. Have a good evening.
You too. Not a flake so far.
Well, I think we had a big snow job on this one.
Yeah, I think we got led a little bit astray.
Okay.
Take care.
Out here.
Bye now. All right. When we come back, more of your phone calls, and more calls are always welcome. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nationality and principality have come for a piece of the pie. I'm sitting in the wreck of Europe with a map of Europe, and the lines and the borders are gone. Gotta do this jigsaw puzzle, it's an awful muddle, but somehow we gotta go on. Lawrence of Arabia is waiting in the wings. He's got some Arab sheikhs and kings, and we're in debt to them somehow. Lawrence of Arabia has got this perfect vision, gonna sell him down the river, there's no time for him now.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. 23 minutes after the hour. Let's go to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're Head On. Sorry you had to wait.
Hey, waiting's part of it. Can we talk about the environment?
Sure.
Particularly West Virginia?
Yeah, always.
Okay, there's a good website. I mean, a great website called scorecard.org. I've got a bad headache, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Scorecard.org. And you can look up your own community. You can compare how your community is for the rest of the country.
Okay.
Top polluters in the United States, West Virginia ranks 3 times out of the top 100.
Wow.
Number 46, number 90, and number 96. American Electric Power, Mitchell Plant, number 46. Fort Martin Power Station. And American Electric Power, Phillips Bourne Plant.
Coal-fired, good old coal-fired energy.
Yeah, three times out of 100, I was surprised.
Yeah, for a state as small as we are, you're absolutely right. And the reason that is the way it is because of the grandfathering rule that the Bush administration is so fond of, and the exchange rule, where say one of these filthy ancient coal-fired substandard power plants is just cranking out garbage. Well, in Bush world, that's a-okay because there's a plant somewhere else that isn't doing as much, so they trade it out and pretend it's all equal.
Okay, in the counties of reported releases of chemicals into the environment, out of the top 100, West Virginia ranks 5 times.
Really?
Putnam County, Marshall County, Macon County, Magnolia County, and Kanawha.
Kanawha. I don't think we know that. Well, there may be a mistake in there because we don't have a Magnolia County.
Mongolia. Sorry.
Monongalia.
Mongolia. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, that's where Morgantown is.
Yeah.
And people should understand, you're not a West Virginian.
I'm not a West Virginian. No, never been there.
Yeah. Kanawha, Monongalia, all these old Indian words meaning river of death. Does it say what the releases are?
You can. Which one in particular do you want me to look up?
Well, I was just curious about Kanawha County.
Okay, just 1 second here.
We've almost made an honorary West Virginian out of you, Chris.
Yeah.
Or a dishonorary. I'm not sure which at this point.
I'm proud of it too.
Yeah.
Because speaking of that, I reposted my interview with Judy Bonds and wrote a short introduction to it.
Okay, and which website is that?
The Mansell Report.
TheMansellReport.blogspot.com.
Yeah, and I have sent it all over the country to friends of mine and said, look, send this to everybody you know. Get them to read about it, because the reason I'm reposting this interview is the trouble in West Virginia hasn't gone away.
No.
It's far from going away.
Well,
it's not going to go away.
The court ruling we had last week, it came out late Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That court ruling ensures that it won't go away. It ensures that we have to keep on fighting.
Yeah. Well, work that people like Judy do, and the work that people like you know, the listeners, the progressive listeners that you're on your show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your listeners call up and say, well, you know, I'm going to this rally or I'm going to that rally. That's how you get stuff done.
Sure it is. Staying at home and watching NASCAR is how you don't get it done. You know what I mean?
That is true.
It's an awareness issue here. Our former football head coach, Don Nealon, otherwise known as that old coal whore, is being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, a huge article in the sports section of the Beckley paper a day or so ago. And it was enough to make you want to gag.
Yeah, I've done some reading on him that you suggested.
Yeah, he's Dandy Don Nealon. And most people, I don't even know if people know that he's out there just, you know, prostituting himself for the likes of Don Blankenship. I don't know if people, you know, oh, that's Don Nealon. Yeah, he's the guy who couldn't win a bowl game. No, he's the guy who's prostituting himself for the mountaintop removal industry.
What is the zip code for Kanawha?
Kanawha County?
Yeah.
It's 25301.
Okay, because I can't remember where I found it, but I put in the zip code and it can tell me right up.
I'm thinking, maybe I'm wrong, but yeah.
Top polluters in your county. The top polluter in that county is DuPont Bell Plant.
Oh, yeah.
2,886 pounds. 886,846 pounds.
Wow. And you can drive by that place right on Route 60. It's on the way to here. And unless you've got your windows rolled up and your air conditioning ventilation system turned to recirculate, you will think you have just driven through death. It stinks so bad.
Okay, the top pollutants coming out in that county, nitrate, 2,713,459 pounds. Hydrochloric acid, 2,702,904.
Delicious on sweet taters.
Okay, I'll just run through the list. Ammonia, sodium nitrate, hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, ethylene, glycol, ethylene, methanol, styrene. You know, this is all good for your kids.
Yeah.
Methyl, isobutyl, ketone, propylene, lead. Oh, yeah, that's real good.
Well, you mentioned that ethylene glycol, that Republican talk show host in Missouri who poisoned his wife. That's what he did it with. Shuts your kidneys down. Great stuff.
Yeah, kids, let's all make sure you get your shots before you go to school because God knows we would want you to get killed at recess.
Jeez. Hey, Chris, we got to hit the break. Thanks for the update, man.
That's horrible. Even
yes, it is. I mean, we joke, but there's nothing funny about it.
Nothing funny about it.
There are cancer clusters in this state. I wish I had the zip code offhand for Parkersburg, Wood County. I would give that to you because that would make your hair stand on end, Chris.
Wood County?
Yeah. The entire water supply of Wood County and some surrounding counties there has been absolutely devastated and permanently polluted by something called C8.
C8?
C8.
I will do some looking into that.
No, it'll make you scream. I mean, the drinking water.
I'm also going to look up Libby Montana. That's what they said.
Yeah, that's a dandy, too. Chris, take care. Good to hear from you.
All right, man. Thank
Later.
You.
And a quick break. Well, coming up, our nightly Cup of Joe report, always informative and always enjoyable. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, McGruff, Chicago, Illinois,
one more time.
Scrub,
you'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Mr. Bush has been referred to as the first CEO president, and his administration certainly lives up to that reputation. This government runs like a modern corporation. That is to say, they operate in secrecy, they intentionally mislead their shareholders, and they are more interested in how things appear to be rather than how things actually are. A perfect example of this is how the administration is dealing with criticism due to the recent discovery of secret U.S. prison camps in Eastern Europe, which are being used to illegally detain suspects who haven't even been charged with a crime. Many of these camps were used by the former Soviet Union for the same purposes, which kind of makes you wonder who it was we were fighting all the years of the Cold War. In response to the criticism, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is planning to tell European leaders to do more to win over their publics as a way to deflect criticism directed at the United States. In other words, lie. Combine that with other stories about how the administration illegally created phony news reports favoring its domestic programs and are now doing the same thing in Iraq, and you see a group of people obsessed with controlling the message. In a way, it's fitting that we're using former Soviet gulags to detain and torture these people, because governments ruled with a corporate attitude are surprisingly similar to governments run by dictators such as Stalin and Tito. The manipulation of the news is likewise similar to Soviet propaganda outlets such as Pravda and Izvestia. But even though the Soviets had a lot more control over the message than the Bush administration ever will, we all know what eventually happened to them. Now, get back to work, comrade. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Welcome back. This is that nightly little dust-up we like to call Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And the phone number, of course, 304-658-3333. Or if you need us to pay the freight, we're more than happy to do it. 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. A couple of emails in hand. One from our FOB, Paul. That's friend of Bob. I had to go to Beckley, he says, over the weekend. On the way back home, I saw a big billboard with a picture of Don Nealon, smiling like a possum, with a beautiful picture of mountains behind him. The billboard read, "Friends of Coal." Now, see, they keep screwing up and putting that R in there. It's Fiends of Coal. We all know that. A few miles down the road around Mossy, there is a most god-awful mountaintop removal site. Wonder why they don't put that billboard there. I get so sick of their propaganda. Wonder what our out-of-state visitors think when they see that. I sure know what I think about it. Well, mostly, we know how they operate. They don't. The people, for instance, who come for whitewater rafting don't get anywhere near it. And they come here, and they go back, and they never know that they've been just a couple of miles from absolute environmental devastation. They think that we're a beautiful natural state. you know, it's a little bit of a con. And that's kind of sad. And email from our pal Peter over in, I presume, over at the Tom Hartman chat room and all the gang there. Hey, gang. Bob, with regard to our pal Rummy, I'm so damn mad about the following article. My head's spinning. It's about the same speech you're talking about. Rumsfeld and the master manipulators of the news cycle said this in the article, quote, Rumsfeld said that the U.S. government is poorly organized and trained to deal with an instantaneous round-the-clock global news cycle with multiple audiences, says Peter. The bastards. And sometimes that's all you can. I talk to erudite people. I talk to people with great vocabularies, and you know, I've got mine's no slouch either. But sometimes you read and hear and see the nightmare crap. See, there it is, perpetrated by these people, and no other words will do. You know, meanwhile, and you know, I hate to get after a brother Democrat, but I have to do it when I have to do it. Meanwhile, these monsters in the Bush administration are, you know, if you listen to Jim and you, a little historical perspective, you understand that there is a real taste, a lingering mouthfeel, that comes from the wine tasting field or school of thought. There's a mouthfeel among the murderous Bush clan, a taste for world conflagration, a taste for Armageddon. We know it, they know it, and yeah, I know exactly what quote Peter is talking about. I'm not sure if I cut that into a soundbite or not. I cut a bunch of them. But if you recall, dear leader, speech or remarks some time back, you'll recall that he was asked, how did he think history would judge him? And he said, well, history may not judge, we may all be dead. check this out. Rummy wants to let history judge.
We ask, how will history judge, if it does, the reporting, some decades from now, when Iraq's path is settled?
How will history judge? Well, you better talk to your boss about that, Rummy, buddy. Because he doesn't think there's going to... And remember the article from a few months back, a year or so ago, where an insider in the Bush administration said, well, you can sit around and worry about history. We'll be making the history. You reality-based people. And finally, it's interesting, and this is part and parcel of what Peter was writing about, Rummy talking about this high-tech war and how, you know, this war is different. This war is really different. Shh, newsflash. All wars are the same.
I understand that there may be great pressure on many of them to tell a dramatic story.
The media.
And while it's easy to use a bombing or a terrorist attack to support that interest, it is not always the most accurate story, or at least not the full story. Consider this. You couldn't tell the full story of Iwo Jima simply by listing the nearly 26,000 Americans.
Oh, my God, it's World War II.
In a brief 40 days.
No.
At Iwo Jima.
No.
Well, you couldn't explain the importance of Grant's push into Virginia.
Oh, shucks,
just by noting the savagery of the battles, and they were savage.
No, but it's a nice starting place. Noting the savagery of warfare is a nice starting place and a darn fine reminder for anybody who has a taste for starting one. The savagery of the 7 days or the wilderness... The savagery of World War II. But you see, no matter how hard they try to turn this war that they started into something else, it's not World War II. It's not the Civil War. Now, you'll notice they never mention Hue, the house-to-house fighting in Hue, building to building to building. Now, that is a little bit like old Fallujah. but you'll never hear that analogy. But, no, Rummy's really concerned with his little high-tech war.
This is the first war of the 21st century. It's the first war to be conducted with talk radio and 24-hour news and bloggers and emails and digital cameras and Sony video cams.
And whiskers
and
on
all
kittens.
All of these things that bring so much information all near instantaneously to people.
These are some of my favorite things. No, Rummy, you gotta hate him. I loathe him. I detest him. Because everything he just... Oh, you know, bloggers and emails and frisbees and wheat checks. See, there's a problem there. And that problem is that every war is always the most modern war. Somewhere in every war, there's always a, well, you know, this war is not like the other. Yes, it is. It is the premeditated slaughter of human beings on as grand a scale as imaginable, as possible to perpetrate. You know, I think back, the shock of a grieving nation when Matthew Brady's photos first came out in the Civil War after the Battle of Antietam, and we saw the rictus and the hideous poses of the unglorious dead on the battlefield there near Sharpsburg, Maryland. And it was a nation that was horrified. And then that other thing. So you know, there's nothing new under the sun. That's Ecclesiastes, isn't it? There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to warfare. It is horror. It is hell. It is death, and it is damnation. And all the way back to Lao Tzu, it is something you do not enter into lightly. It's not something that you base a political campaign on. I'm going to have me a war so I can get even with my daddy. You understand? You see, there's nothing new in this, Rummy, buddy. All your emails and all your blogs. Notice how he mentioned talk radio first? You got to wonder why. Is it because there's finally progressive liberal talk radio out there actively opposing this illegal, immoral, filthy, dirty war? Or is the mention of talk radio and blogs and email, is that up there at the top of his laundry list of the stuff that must be shut down? Because don't you think for a minute that if Rummy thought he could get away with it, he wouldn't figure out some way to shut the likes of me, Mike Malloy, Peter Werby, Tom Hartman, Randy Rhodes, Al Franken, Ed Schultz. We would all be silenced. Because you do not criticize the acts of dear leader. That's what it was. That and a little plug for Sony, if you noticed in the soundbite. Apparently, just like Tamiflu, Rummy must have some Sony stock, so he got a name brand mention into the quote. Don't kid yourself. That's the way they operate. Listen, we should take a quick break, then we'll come back. Phone calls, if you want to jump in, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. You know me.
When you look through the lights to the stage, you see the man of your dreams. You think his life's full of parties and love, but it's not what it seems. If you could see it through right now.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, Scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
and me take a fight at a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8th, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating, and the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries.
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Jim's back with us. Had another thought for us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
Just a corollary to what I said earlier.
Okay.
Now, when I see Rumsfeld in his briefings, I always notice that he's, you know, extremely well tailored, and he does wear a collar pin always.
Yes.
And sometimes I think that in placing that collar pin, he may have slipped and given himself a lobotomy.
Just stick it in there and waller it around a little bit. Whole frontal lobe just gone away.
Tell you, it just seems as though when he gets on these subjects, if he starts going on about all this stuff, it's just like it's very desultory. It's cat and dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and there's something else about him as well, Jim.
No transition elements really that I can see.
And you know he's got that scratchy little voice, and he sounds like somebody's grandfather. But in that scratchy little voice, he'll just quietly describe the wholesale slaughter of thousands.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, when he corrected General Pace the other day.
Oh, yes.
Which I think was, you know, that was totally inappropriate. I mean, that's not something you do in public. I mean, if you're going to have a difference of opinion with a subordinate, you don't do it on national TV. And that was.
Yeah, but I was kind of proud of General Pace, too. No, sir. I mean, if they see it, they better stop it.
Well, what else can the band say?
Well, I would guess that by the time you get that fourth star up on your epaulette, somewhere along the way, somebody's told you a little bit about a little court action at, Nuremberg?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Mr. Rumsfeld, to my knowledge, has never worn a uniform, and he's never been in a thick of battle. And at least I don't think he has. But, you know, these people, this whole war thing is just, it's some type of game and some type of glorious adventure. It's just, I don't know.
You're right. It stuns the thinking mind, Jim, but it is a game to them. And it blows me away, too. I mean, I grew up there was a game company once upon a time. In fact, you may have run across them somewhere along the way. The name of the company was Avalon Hill. And they made historical recreation war board games.
Oh yeah.
And I found them fascinating. Lots of itsy bitsy little cardboard die-cut markers. You know, some of these were down to the regimental level or the company level.
Look at the stuff they have on PlayStation
now. Yeah.
I mean, they have accelerated that into a new medium.
But the thing is, you know, I grew up playing those things, whether it was Caesar's campaign at Alesia or the Napoleonic campaigns, whatever it was. And, you know, you learn a lot by playing them, but by the same token, it's divorced from reality. You know, there's no blood. The little marker is just pulled away when it's no longer effective. And that's the attitude that the Bush administration has toward war. These aren't human beings. That's why they won't go to a funeral. They might be reminded that these were once human beings and that these shattered families were once happy.
Well, you know, it's the funny thing, and this, maybe I'm getting off the subject here, but I can remember reading many stories about during the latter days of World War II, particularly when the tide of war had turned against Hitler. I mean, he wouldn't do that either. I mean, he wouldn't visit a bomb city. He would not do anything to talk to the families of the people who had been killed. And when his train would pull through Berlin, it was not when it was being bombed. He always had the shades drawn so he couldn't see the damage done to the city.
Yeah, just like the glass in George Bush's Cadillac and his big old SUV are tinted so dark that you can't tell if there's a human being inside it.
Exactly. And, you know, they talk about house-to-house fighting. I mean, you know, these guys ought to take a documentary and take a look at it about, for example, like places like Stalingrad. And
yeah.
See exactly what happens. And, you know, the real, you know, consequences of war. And, you know, I honestly and truly believe that the greatest task in the world are the soldiers who have to go in there and fight these things.
Right.
So they're the ones who have to get the bayonets and the bullets in their bellies, and they're the ones whose families have to be without a father or a mother or
deal with a shattered human being if he survives to come home. It's like the Marines that that were killed and maimed in that terrible bomb explosion in Fallujah last week. You know, 10 were killed. And if you think about the traumatic injuries, you know, medical science has made it possible for a number of people who would have otherwise died to have survived. But, some of my veterans buddies have explained this to me. They said, when you see 10, you know, when you see 10 dead and 10 wounded, they said, you know, there's an argument to be said, argument to be made for the fact that the 10 who died are the lucky ones.
Yeah, you're probably right there. Probably right. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you have people whose lives have been forever changed, and then they are simply placed on, in my opinion, long lists which are carelessly mislaid and forgotten.
And in essence, so are they.
And that's the real tragedy of the whole thing.
Well, you know, we can have a meaningless or we can have a meaningful attempt to honor our veterans when they come back, and part of that honor is having the support, be it medical, psychiatric, psychological, or you know, group therapy, whatever you want to call it, having that support system there for them. Unfortunately, that support system has been gutted under the Bush administration.
Yeah, it has. But, you know, I had an uncle who fought in World War II in the Pacific. As a matter of fact, my father and all of his brothers fought in the respective European and Pacific theater. And my Uncle Malcolm was one of the ones who was left at Guadalcanal.
Oh, my.
They were left from August until December. So Little Halsey pulled up and you know, finally rescued them. And, you know, they were left with nothing. They had to eat fish heads and rice. And they had to fight the Japanese and things like that. My uncle told me a story. And he didn't talk a whole lot about this. He always told me, Tim, he said, these guys who come back and talk about war being so glorious and stuff, he said, they never saw a lot of real heavy action. I mean, but this guy, my uncle, God bless him, no longer with us, went on from Guadalcanal and we talked Peleliu, Tarawa. And he came back a shattered man.
Yeah.
Because of the post-traumatic stress syndrome. Now, you can call my father up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, nobody understood it, but my dad did. And, you know, because he was seeing things, he was hearing things, he was imagining that people were trying to kill him. And, you know, and I can remember as a little boy, my dad had me get up in the middle of the night, go over there and be with him. And back then, in the 50s, there were, you know, people just didn't understand that kind of stuff. They just said, oh, well, you're shell-shocked and stuff like this, and
yeah, if you're lucky, you didn't get slapped by Patton for it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, they just lost the entire concept of the true meaning of war and the value of real peace. And, you know, I can grind that out the rest of the night, but I won't. But one thing I mentioned to Agnes was the fact that last night they had this program on Pope John Paul, the late Pope John Paul, don't agree with a lot of the things that Pope John Paul said, and I particularly disagree with his efforts to roll back Vatican II, or at least that's the way I see it. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe someone who's Catholic can correct me, but, you know, I still have tremendous respect for the man and the intentions that he had and the miles that he traveled and how he was able to overcome so many things, physical infirmity, being getting shot, things like that.
Right.
And, you know, I do believe in his heart of hearts he was a good man. And this CBS docudrama with John Boyd and, of course, the cast of many people, Christopher Lee's in it.
Yeah.
It's worthy of seeing. And, you know,
I might have to try to figure out how to record it and record it on the VCR, because obviously it's on when I'm on.
Right, it is. And I would not think that it's so much hagiography, but I believe Van did try to do the best he could to make the world a better place. And I'm going to have to give credit for that, even though I non-concur with a lot of his core beliefs.
Well, when George started this filthy little war, he wasn't on board, Jim, and that much has to be said to his credit. But we're out of time, and we got to hit it.
All right.
Take care. And when we come back, we got a little bit more rummy for you. We'll finish that up. And then, you know, periodically we have these little fights about textbooks in America. Wait till you hear what's going into the textbooks in Pakistan. Woohoo! This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
McGruff, the crime dog, here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff, scruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a fight on a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
Murray.
You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Sent inside forever.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeedy. That's me. That's you. That's us. 6 minutes past the hour as we cruise into this final hour of this Monday night edition of Head On. If you've got something on your mind, bring it to the table. You know, I'm not the only guy who knows how to be shocked, disturbed, and appalled by a news story. Share it. Get it off your... For God's sakes, don't bottle that stuff up. It'll kill you. And, of course, the phone numbers. 877-443-2366. 304-658-3333. It's as easy as can be. And email to bob@headonradio.com. Now, we got one little rummy clip left. Might as well finish the doggone thing off. I mentioned something in chatting with Jim about General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and I was thinking about that particular thing because Rummy brought it to mind.
We are all Americans. We're all in this together, and what we do today will not only impact us, but it will surely impact our children and our grandchildren and the kind of world they'll live in.
Okay. See, Rummy... Buddy, we're not all in this together, okay? I, for one, disavow your war crimes.
It's great to be young and insane.
Yeah. I disavow, and I do it publicly. I'm grateful for the fact that I've got this microphone sitting here, because I can publicly disavow Donald Rumsfeld, Big Time Dick Cheney, Condi Rice, Stephen Hadley, God knows, dear leader, and the whole filthy crew's war crimes. Because if this was any other country but the United States, what we have done in Iraq would have someone called into the dock for war crimes. Because, you see, we established a rule at that little court hearing in Nuremberg that says starting offensive wars is illegal. It's that easy. There's not a whole lot of analysis involved. Did you start it? Had they done anything to cause you to... No, they hadn't. Oh, well, okay. That's a war crime. Attacking the civilian infrastructure so that people can't have clean running water, potable water, electricity, the basic... the basic necessities of civilized existence... That, too, is a war crime. So, no, Rummy, buddy, yeah, we're all, well, not even sure of that anymore. No, we're not in this together with you, buddy. We're not into war crimes, we don't participate in war crimes, and when war crimes are committed and we, the people, just happen to be paying attention, the ones of us who understand what the rules are all about, no, we're not in it with you. The justice of heaven falleth upon the just, or the rain of heaven falleth upon the just and the unjust, like the gentle rain of, you know what I'm talking about. When that gentle rain begins to fall and falls upon the just and the unjust, Rummy, buddy, the normal people, the decent people, the people who don't just go out and start wars for the sheer hell of it, we're going to let the rain fall on you and your pals. Okay?
Okay.
Because Nuremberg means something. After the Second World War, we stood up to the world and we held up a beacon, we held up a shining light and said, this is the lesson to be learned. We are punishing the leadership of the German people not because they fought the war, but because they started the war. And there is ample opportunity for this to become what the right wing desires. Do not kid yourself. If there is any doubt left in your mind, do not kid yourself. What Rummy and Bush and Cheney and the whole dirty crowd yearn for, ache for, long for, like teenage angst, is World War III. So, dear leader, can be a real World War president and can be compared with Truman, Roosevelt, Churchill. He likes the Churchill reference. That's the ultimate goal. And yeah, Mohammed Al-Baradei of the International Atomic Energy Agency did say in a report that I read today that Iran is about 60 days away from a nuclear bomb. That, whether you love Bush or hate Bush, that should just make you break out in an ice-cold, shaking flop sweat. Yes, dear?
You know, I noticed there, he said he wondered what the children and the grandchildren would think. Well, I think they're going to think that Nixon was a saint.
Compared to these clowns?
When they look at this time and place in history and realize what they're going to be stuck with, and that's his kids and his grandkids, too.
Honey, if they survive. I mean, this is that, I can't even remember who did that song, you know, in the year 2525, if man is still alive, that whole thing. That used to be a funny little song.
Well, you know, it brings to mind War Games with Matthew Broderick.
Shall we play a game?
Basically. And there's a child at the button wanting to push it.
A man-child.
We got to take back our country.
It's nice. The question is, where do you start? Where do you start? Well, part of it is not letting filth like Rumsfeld get by with saying things like, and we're all in this together. No, see, I don't do war crimes. I don't do war crimes, Rummy. Neither does my lovely wife, and we're not going to let you tar our children. Talk about what the children will think. We're not going to let you tar our children and hopefully their progeny with your criminal brush. It would suit me fine if Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush and Condi were all trucked off to Spandau prison. Oh, they tore that one down, didn't they? But it would. That's what you do with a war criminal. You try them and you punish them. And if you bother to look at the rules of Nuremberg even for an instant, what these people have done in Iraq is nothing short of the very textbook definition of war crimes. And I refuse to be any part of it. So we got to take a break. When we come back, I promise, textbook problems in Pakistan. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org.
A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards. But will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Quick email before we go into the textbook debacle. Our pal Kelly writes in with regard to veterans and Jim's mention of World War II veterans and my periodic mention of my World War II veteran father. Even with all the horrors my 83-year-old father endured along with all the others who fought for the Allies in World War II, at least they had the support of the nation behind them. Nearly everyone agreed that although terrible, the fight was right and they had the country behind them. The soldiers of Vietnam, and yes, even the soldiers of the forgotten Korean War, were manipulated by their leaders and left hanging out to dry afterwards. Have we not learned enough not to do this to other generations in the Middle East? The karmic debt of this debacle upon America will be enormous. We need 8 years of Jimmy Carter as president to, and more to correct this. Yeah, having a moral and decent man in the White House is a start. Someone who can work on worldwide expiation of the sins of the Bush administration. Now, you know, of course, that one of our dearest pals in the, South Asia, distant Middle East, depending on how you want to look at it, one of our dearest pals is Pervez Musharraf, the brutal dictator of Pakistan. And we do remember, of course, the wingnuts don't, we do, that Pervez Musharraf took power by virtue of a military coup. He wasn't democratically elected. He stole power. But he's our buddy, right? Half of the Pakistani intelligence service, the ISI, is infiltrated with Al-Qaeda. But he's our buddy. So much so that some Pakistani forces working in conjunction with American forces, there it was in the paper over the weekend. We captured Al-Qaeda's number two again. Because we've captured Al-Qaeda's, number three, okay. Well, he was kind of number five, but he got a promotion. We got some dude that has already been replaced by another dude who is just as deadly. But never mind. There's a public education system in Pakistan, and they it's a federal board of education, and they have the say-so over everything that goes out in the way of a textbook in that country. And remember, like I said, Pervez Musharraf, the brutal dictator of Pakistan, you can't just say dictator. They're brutal dictators, right? I mean, Saddam Hussein, brutal dictator. That's the new meme, whatever. So Pervez Musharraf, the brutal dictator of Pakistan, to whom we send hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars now, because he's such good pals. Well, he's got a little textbook problem on his hands. And, you know, years and years ago, decades ago even, there was a terrible fight in Kanawha County over textbooks. And whether or not, well, you know, it was the whole God Squad thing again, or early version thereof. In Dover, Pennsylvania, you had a humongous legal fight that wound up getting the Board of Education thrown out over a textbook called Of Pandas and People that wanted to teach, well, yeah, you know the drill, that Adam and Eve rode to church on a dinosaur and the blah, 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 and the unicorns all drowned because they were too stubborn to get on the ark with Noah, that kind of thing. Well, they've got a little bit similar problem in Pakistan. They have a new textbook, an English textbook, because in Pakistan, they don't. The one thing that they do sort of have right is they don't fool around with foreign language education at all. When I say they don't fool around, they're intensive about it. Everybody takes English. You learn your Pakistani and you take English or whatever language your tribe happens to speak, but you learn English. Just as in Europe, a kid graduating high school in Germany has had maybe Russian, French, English. We're about the only country in the civilized world, or Pakistan, that doesn't insist that its school children be absolutely fluent in a foreign language by the time they graduate. Shh, don't tell anybody. That has a little bit to do with why other industrialized nations have a leg up on us. I don't want my children learning no foreigner languages. It ain't Christian. So there's an English textbook that came out in Pakistan. I haven't told you about this one, Agnes. You're going to like this. And it had a poem in it. It had a poem. And the poem has been deleted from the book published by the National Book Foundation for students of intermediate English. And this poem, well, I'm going to share it with you. I'm not crazy about reading poetry here, but it's an anonymous poem. It's on page 226 of the book. The editors are Muhammad Aslam Gandal and M.H. Hamdani. This anonymous poem, the book was printed in 2004. For the first time after the government decided to deregulate. Look, deregulation, it's made it all the way to Pakistan. Publication of textbooks. It was prescribed for the first-year students of the federal board in 2005. Here's the poem. Patient and steady with all he must bear. Ready to accept every challenge with care. Easy in manner, yet solid as steel. Strong in his faith, refreshingly real. Isn't afraid to propose what is bold. Doesn't conform to the usual mold. Eyes that have foresight, for hindsight won't do. Never back down when he sees what is true. Tells it all straight, and means it all, too, going forward and knowing he's right, even when doubted for why he would fight. Oh dear, the light's going on, isn't it, Agnes? Over and over he makes his case clear, reaching to touch the ones who won't hear. Growing in strength, he won't be unnerved, ever assuring he'll stand by his word. waiting, wanting the world to join his firm stand, bracing for war, but praying for peace, using his power, so evil will cease. So much a leader and worthy of trust. Here stands a man who will do what he must.
And they deleted that?
Yes, thank God, because you don't get the trick yet. Lean over here, sweetheart. Look at the first letter of every line. Just go down. Take a minute. It's okay. This is a poem from a textbook for intermediate learners of English in Pakistan. Yeah.
George.
Patient and steady, so you use the P. Ready to accept, R. Easy in manner, E. Strong in his faith, S. Isn't afraid, I. Doesn't conform, D. Eyes that have foresight, E. Never back down, N. Tells it all straight, T. Going forward, G. Even when, E. Over and over, O. Reaching to touch, R. Growing in strength, G. Ever assuring, E. Wanting the world, W. Bracing for war, B. Using his power, U. So much a leader, S. Here stands a man, H. The first letter of every line of this poem spells out President George W. Bush.
Who wrote that?
It's anonymous. But in light of the fact that the Lincoln Group has been paying to have stories placed in Iraqi newspapers, I'm guessing this is the work of the Lincoln Group.
Isn't that a little insidious? I mean, you're right. I'm not the sharpest tack on.
Now, I didn't say you weren't sharp. I saw the light start. I saw when the mouth came open and the oh my God!
See, I'm a good Union girl, and I understand. I'm listening to the poem and I'm thinking, you know, steadfast and steady.
Patient and steady with all he must bear.
But I wouldn't think about them putting something insidious in there like that. So evidently I'm on the second grade level.
No, that's okay. No, that just means you're not ready to study English in Pakistan, honey. Can you believe this? This is how far our propaganda has gone? Now, this has been excised. It will not be put in there because General Pervez Musharraf realized he would have an Islamic revolution on his hands if he let this through. Because George is not exactly popular in Pakistan. Do you believe? From the College Times. K-H-A-L-E-E-J. The College Times. Now, how long are you... Did it make O'Reilly tonight? Has it made O'Reilly yet? This will be on O'Reilly before, or Hannity Job, or Flush Flemball. Ooh, we got some Flush coming up for you. And there will be, well, I believe this should be in every American child's textbook. We need to return to the study of poetry, and this is the poetry we need to be studying about, dear leader. What a beautiful poem. It reads so well, you'd almost swear it wasn't written by one of them heathen Muslims. Oh, my God. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Yeah, we've got some Christmas music lined up for you. Oh, we got a lot of fun Christmas music on the way. Yeah, a little out of the ordinary stuff. You know, I'm going to try to get through a Christmas this year without playing Merry Christmas, Johnny Mathis. Although that's a fine album.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, happy holidays. You know, it's one of those things I don't understand about the war on Christmas. Even if you just want to completely ignore, Hindu people, Jewish people, Muslim people, non-religious people, it's still happy holidays. Because there's Christmas and New Year's, for heaven's sakes. So it's happy holidays. But, nah, Bill O'Reilly can't figure that out. Hey, a quick little fun fact for you. I guess maybe it was Friday on Countdown with Keith Olbermann that our friend Lydia Cornell got a mention. You know, the segment of Olbermann's show, Worst Person in the World? Well, Ann Coulter made worse for her shabby treatment of Lydia Cornell for asking her a simple question, you know, about whether or not when she spoke to the Alachua County, Florida Republican Committee, whether she actually did say that free speech should be curtailed for Democrats. Did she say it or did she not? You know, and then, of course, you know, once that's... Once it becomes known that Adams Apple Annie Coulter said that, you know, she of the man hands, then, well, you know, it's political satire. And, of course, you remember when Falafel Boy O'Reilly suggested that Al-Qaeda attack San Francisco, he said that was political satire. So I guess we're to understand that anything, that you know, Ann Coulter, O'Reilly, and any time that Flush Flemball gets caught in some of his filth, well, you know, I am not a politician. I am not a political scientist. I am an entertainer. That's what they always come out with. You know, my life is busy enough. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe what I was talking about, if I didn't believe in what I was talking about. And you know what? They believe in it too. When Adams Apple Annie Coulter says something like, we should kill them all and convert their leaders to Christianity, talking about the Middle East, she means it. When Bill O'Reilly says that it wouldn't bother him one iota if Al-Qaeda attacked the Coit Tower in San Francisco, he means it. Really and for truly. Because, well, you know, where San Francisco is concerned, you know, oh, really, for all the stuff in all those transcripts about falafel and other things that you buy in the bookstores with the painted over windows, he's a bigot. And he would, you know, he considers himself a right-wing Christian. He would like nothing better than to see San Francisco destroyed because, you know, those people live there. You know, those people. Sure. And Flush Flimball. I got a little flush for you this evening as we round out the evening. Dear old Flush, he's an entertainer, remember. He's not a social commentator. He's an entertainer. And he can't seem to get over his hate for Congressman John Murtha. Now, once upon a time, he loved John Murtha. Because John Murtha loved the war that his president started, but not anymore.
This guy Murtha, I've been thinking more and more about what he said about the army being broken down and unable to deal with these car bombs and so forth, and it just infuriates me. It just infuriates me. What are you looking at me this way for?
Okay, there's a couple of things there. He's infuriated. Why? He's infuriated because John Murtha has done something that Flush hasn't done. John Murtha has been to Iraq, has talked to the troops on the ground. John Murtha has the ear of the brass in the Pentagon who don't dare say anything public for fear of being cashiered, fired, or otherwise destroyed by dear leader. Okay? But, you know, this is the... We know that you and I, as taxpayers, we pay Flush Flemball to allow an hour of or two of his show to be broadcast on Armed Forces Radio every day. We pay, you and I. And as such, I'm figuring this segment probably was part of what went overseas to Armed Forces Radio, because the whole idea here for Flush is to try to destroy one of the few people who are trying to save the lives of our guardsmen, our reservists, and our regular military on the ground in Iraq, walking around with targets on their back, waiting to die.
But see, that's great, because when you're, I mean, who's he talking to? Why are you looking at me that way?
Well, that's the other part. When you are on the junk, you know, I don't know if you substance abuse counselors and such can tell you about it. There is a heightened sense of profound paranoia that attaches. And so you say, why are you looking at me like that? Or God, these bugs, they're all over my skin. What? Or, oh, my God, the walls are melting. You know, it's not good for you, that stuff.
Or maybe his staff is looking at him like he's lost his mind.
Well, they are looking at him like he's lost his mind.
Because he has. And he's not entertaining. I wouldn't pay $7.50 to go see that. I wouldn't even wait on it to come out on DVD.
Lucky for you, all you have to do is turn on your AM radio. You know, it's free. But in all,
I stopped doing that.
But in all truth, you and I, we pay him to beam his signal to the troops in Iraq. Let's go to cut two, just for the fun of it.
He may as well be broadcasting this on Al Jazeera. They're going to pick it up, talk about it. Our troops hear it.
Right.
He's the biggest morale booster that the enemy has.
Well, flush, buddy. Considering the fact that you're the one broadcasting all of this stuff to Armed Forces Radio on our nickel, it would seem that you're the one who's demoralizing the troops, buddy. You know, no, they're not listening to Al Jazeera. They're not watching Al Jazeera. I sincerely doubt that because, well, my God, if George Bush is willing to bomb Al Jazeera, then what kind of patriotic soldier would even watch it? So, no, they're not getting anything out of Al Jazeera. The troops on the ground are very, very isolated in terms of the information they're permitted to have. So let's not hear any more of Flush Flimball crying about John Murtha being a tool of Al Jazeera. There's only one person who's broadcasting this negative stuff. I mean, has it started yet? Is Ed Schultz being carried by Armed Forces Radio yet? And my God, I mean, you listen to Ed Schultz. Ed Schultz is he might call himself a liberal, but he ain't. No. He's a traditional Midwestern conservative Democrat. He's very good at what he does. I'm not being mean to him or critical of him, but not a liberal. And, you know, that's fine. Let him be what he is. It was like pulling teeth trying to get him on Armed Forces Radio. And to this day, I don't know if that has happened. I don't think it has. If I'm wrong, by all means, correct me, and someone will. But the idea that Flush would sit there and suggest that John Murtha is the problem when it's John Murtha who was in a war, Korea, who was in Vietnam, who picked up a couple of Purple Hearts, who got a Bronze Star, who went when Flush was scared and had a festering pimple on his butt and used it to make him 4F? Oh, thank God the room is small, otherwise I'd be running around it screaming. All right, cut three.
So they were wrong on the economy. They were wrong on Iraq.
Oh, now
they're
Democrats.
Wrong on taxes. They're wrong on national defense. They're wrong on the judiciary. They're wrong just about on everything.
Okay. Let's see. That was wrong on wrong on Iraq. Right? He said wrong on Iraq first, right? Yeah, okay. What have I been wrong? What have the liberals been wrong about Iraq? We said it wasn't going to be as easy as Rummy promised, or Cheney, or Condi, or Dear Leader. When Cheney said, "Oh well, I believe they're going to be greeted as liberators," we said, "Uh-uh, no more than the Vietnamese people welcomed us as liberators. Tain't gonna happen." And when Dear Leader landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln in his little stuffed crotch flight suit and said, in front of that banner, "Major combat operations have ended," we said, no, they haven't. You've got a bloody, nasty little war on your hands now. And the fact that you got to Baghdad doesn't mean that it's all over. And look, we were right. Let's see, we're wrong on the economy. Where's the news story? Last week it was General Motors, 30,000 jobs. Guess what? It's coming to Ford. Headline from Reuters. Ford Motor Company plans to close more than 8 North American assembly and parts plants in a drive to revive faltering operations on the continent. That would be the North American continent. The paper, the Automotive News, said the number 2 U.S. car maker was likely to close at least 5 vehicle assembly plants in Atlanta, St. Louis, St. Paul, Minnesota, Wixom, Michigan, and Cuautitlan, Mexico. Several powertrain and stamping plants will also close. And Ford says it will unveil in January a restructuring plan for North America. So, Flush, you want to rethink that one there, buddy, that whole thing about how we were wrong on the economy? Oh, and wrong on national defense. Ah, yes, okay. Well, Flush, pal, you old junkie, you. It's hard to imagine how we've been wrong on national defense since your party has sort of made us less safe, or did you not catch that final warning today from the 9/11 Commission? Nah, I guess not. Too busy with the pills, I guess. Or, let's see, oh, wrong on national defense. Yeah, I guess the right thing to do, Flush, is to be like Randy Duke Cunningham. You remember Randy Duke Cunningham, upstanding senator or upstanding congressman from San Diego, Randy Duke Cunningham, who took $2.5 million in bribes.
Morning, Miss Cunningham.
Yeah, that Randy Duke Cunningham. Wrong on national defense, because in Repigli world, the right thing to do on national defense is to stick your greasy little piggish palm out and get as much graft and corruption money as possible. Look up Wilkes. Wilkes. There's a firm out there called Wilkes from the San Diego newspaper. A man named Wilkes. He's an unindicted co-conspirator number one. And he was the bag man for Randy Duke Cunningham. Owned a founder of a company called ADCS. Need to do, and maybe I'll try to. This is extremely complicated stuff. I can't do it in 5 minutes. But you need to learn a little bit about ADCS. And find out a little bit about this Wilkes character. Born in San Diego County in 1954. He is a defense contractor of sorts. And he has put up all manner of shill PACs, you know, political action committees, and also helped coordinate Arnold Schwarzenegger's San Diego campaign, and has passed on more filthy political money than just about anybody this side of Tom DeLay when you get right down to it. You need to look up, Mirror Labs and ADCS. And you need to find out a little something about graft and a little company called MZM. And it turns out, if you dig far enough, and again, I'll try to remember and do this in some detail tomorrow. These shell companies associated with this Wilkes character, remember, this is your government, were set up wholly and exclusively to funnel money away from defense contracts into Republican campaign coffers. The tax dollars that you and I contribute to national defense and are then parsed out in terms of procurement, Pentagon contracts, defense contractors, Well, this Wilkes character set up a scheme by which he could fund hateful, nasty, evil Republican congressmen like Dreyer. David Dreyer? And Daryl Issa. Daryl Issa, who was a convicted felon fraud, or at least a charged felon fraud, who orchestrated the whole recall petition against Gray Davis that saddled poor California with none other than the Gropinator. This story, and, you know, it won't get legs. It desperately needs legs because it's as filthy with politically corrupt grift and graft money as dear old Bebe Rebozo. It's a pity it won't get any legs, but it should. So you should well, like I said, I'll try to take a run at it. And finally, just to sort of bring it all home, there's been a little statistical looking around done by the fine folks at the Nashville Tennessean. An analysis of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist's voting record. Now, yeah, it's scarcely going to be conceivable to you. Cat Killer Bill, his voting record shows a pattern of supporting bills that benefit Healthcare Corporation of America, lovingly known to you and me as HCA, the family, the multi-billion-dollar hospital business that the Frist family runs. You know, the HCA of the HCA stock that Bill Frist insider traded before the stock tanked not too long back. Now, for instance, a bill that Cat Killer Bill introduced in July was designed to help insure the uninsured and limit jury awards. Now, ostensibly, you'd think insuring the uninsured would be a good idea. However, in this particular instance, uninsured patients hurt HCA. By the way, one of the leading purveyors of on-demand abortion in the United States, HCA. Uninsured patients hurt HCA. And the company usually sets aside $2.7 billion. Well, they did that in 2004. $2.7 billion. For accounts that can't be paid by sick people. And, of course, HCA is one of Healthcare Indemnity, Inc., is owned by HCA. Healthcare Indemnity, Inc. They're a medical malpractice insurance company. And so it was with Healthcare Indemnity, Inc. in mind that Bill Frist proposed his limit on jury awards in medical malpractice. And of course, what else? There's more fun here. The Patient's Bill of Rights. Remember the Patient's Bill of Rights? That would have allowed patients to sue their HMOs and collect damages when the HMO said, well, you know, you've got cancer and we don't feel like paying for it, so what? Well, Bill Frist opposed that, even though, as a physician, he's a member of the American Medical Association, and the American Medical Association supported the Patient's Bill of Rights. Welcome to Republican world. I mean, this is creepy. I remember as a kid getting to go and see that futuristic sci-fi thriller Westworld, where Yul Brynner played the gunslinger in black and things went all wrong and it turned out to be terribly, terribly deadly. I guess I was impressionable or something as a kid, because that movie scared the bejabbers out of me. There was just something terrifying about Yul Brynner all by himself. Hell, he was scary enough in the Anna and the King, not Anna and the King, The King and I. Yeah, he was terrifying there. Ho-ho! This is scarier than that. Republican world is a terrifying place. Where it doesn't matter if you're sick, it doesn't matter if you're out of a job, it doesn't matter if you can't feed your kids, It doesn't matter if Mommy and Daddy both have to go off and fight George's little war. It doesn't matter if you work for Kellogg Brown and Root and you happen to be, you know, brown-skinned and you get 45 cents an hour because there is, in Bushco, there's no minimum wage for a Halliburton subcontractor. Boy, talk about overruling prevailing wage. How's that? We can't even apply the national minimum wage to somebody who's serving food to our soldiers, and they work them 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Westworld? Uh-uh. Bushworld. And it's a scary, scary place. The show tonight was produced by my lovely wife, Agnes, announced by Brian Reznor, the audio setup, of course, engineered by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream as well as the archives. And, of course, the show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.